Micah chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, the incurable wound. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Merathite, in the days of Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, all you people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft. Does it sound like maybe he's in control? As wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Joseph is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria as an heap of the field, and as plantings of a vineyard, and I'll pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with the fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. For she gathered it of the hire of an harlot, and they shall return to the hire of an harlot. Therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls. Now see it. For her wound is incurable. For it has come unto Judah. He has come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. For her wound is incurable. I should like to speak to you of the incurable wound. The incurable wound is not anything if it's not sin. That's the incurable wound. We know that. We know it from the book of Genesis. Did you know that sin's incurable? There's no cure for sin. It can't be cured. It's terminal condition. And we've got graves to prove that. The greatest saints who ever lived are in the grave. Methuselah, he lived a lot. We're talking 969 years. Do you know where he's at? He's dead. In the grave. I hear of men today who long to live 120, 150 years. For what? To die from what? The incurable wound. Sin. And for this, men still place their trust in man. That somehow that a cure can be found. That's the way they are now. I saw an article this morning, and everyone, they said, oh, what everyone's wanted to see, and they have this flu vaccine going at Eli Lilly or some such place, and it's going to, you know. And I saw yesterday for veterans like me, you can drive up and get your flu shot in your car, you know. Well, you can take that. I don't fault you for taking it, but don't fault me for not taking it. And so that's sort of like men are about the incurable wound. I observe the young around me. I work around, well, I'm the oldest guy there, so everybody's younger. Quite a bit younger. And they live, and they live as if there be no death. Now you guys know that. Those of you that work out there, those men you work, they live as if they'll live forever, as if there is no incurable wound, as if there is no death, as if there is no sin. And I question them. Time to time I question them and about their sin. And they just shrug. I said, you know, yeah, yeah. As if there be no incurable wound. As though they shall miraculously be spared that thing. What did he say? He said, Ye shall not surely die. Do you remember? Ye shall not surely die. And it rings as loud today as it did 6,000 years ago in Eden. And they buy it as much more today than they did then. Ye shall not surely die. And how could it be otherwise? If the two living in Eden, the man most directly created in the image of God, the first generation of the image of God, if he bought the lie, how would you ever expect men today to not believe the lie? For all have sinned, all have the incurable wound, you see. John, listen. Today, as perhaps no other, we wonder how so many can be so stupid. I mean, it's as if we've entered a foreign land and these people speak another, you may as well be in China or somewhere, you see. So blind, so ignorant of the things of God. And I say that because we were founded as a God-fearing country. Did you ever read? The Bible says there's none righteous. But we are expecting righteousness. Isn't that interesting? And he said, no, not one. Or that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Are we not told to be not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? Aren't we? And he said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Anybody know who this book is for? This Bible? This Word of God? You know who Jesus preached to when he was here? The Jews. He didn't go to the Gentiles. The Jews, the religious. Every book, every gospel letter in this book, from Genesis to Revelation, was to a church, or to the brethren, or to a professor of Christ. The revelation was given to the seven churches. All through the Bible. John. I heard Brother James once say, Jesus never went out seeking the lost. Did you remember that? He never did. Now all the church people today, oh, we've got to go out and we've got to do this and we've got... Jesus never did. He never did. Now, when I say the lost, I'm not talking... He came for one reason. For the lost sheep of Israel. You see? And he never came or went to minister to the first man. He never did. He never did. Look in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but, in other words, for one deal, unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see it? I would ask, when did we begin to present the gospel to goats? When did we start ministering to the house? I'll never forget some brethren down in Mission, Texas many, many years ago. And they had decided what a great place to go witness but South Padre at spring break. If you know anything about it or if you've seen any of the old movies about Fort Lauderdale or South Florida or South Padre Island or Padre Island during spring break, you'll know something of what I speak. And they were going to present the gospel. They're thinking, what better time and place to present the gospel, spring break? This great captive audience, a time of great debauchery. And when they returned, I inquired, how'd your trip go? How'd that thing go? You see? I want to know what they'd learned. One man that I know, he's over in Romania today, still in the work, Brother Martin, who himself actually heard the gospel on a beach in Florida. By the way, that was a one-on-one. A man just actually came up to him one-on-one and spoke to him. And he said, I said, Brother, did you learn anything going out there and preaching in spring break? He said, yes, sir. He said, I learned not to cast my pearls before swine. Amen. You see, amen. Jesus himself kept the gospel from thousands. Did you know that? Did you get that? Look at Matthew 13. You still there? Turn back a few pages. Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 9 through verse 11. Jesus had just spoken the parable of the sower. He said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. They don't all have ears to hear, folks. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now look, but to them, it's not given. What? You'd never know that by the churches today, would you? Would you know that? Now hear me, I'm not saying we shouldn't sow seed. The word, only that we may only expect fruit of the good ground, that which fell on good ground, from the sheep, not the goats, and not the tares. A goat will never receive the doctrine of the incurable wound. Now you get that. He never will. Not ever. You shall become his gods. He never will. And until a man, any man that'll ever see heaven, until he understands the doctrine of the incurable wound, he can't be there. He simply cannot. Look at John 6:44. You remember what it said? Jesus said, no man come to me except what? My Father in heaven, draw him. And then, by the way, at the end of that verse said, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So there goes one of the true sure verses against the so-called rapture. The last day. That's when he's going to raise him up. And you go over the book of Corinthians, you'll find the last trump. You see? Only those drawn by Christ will ever know there be an incurable wound. Only those drawn by Christ. I've preached it for over 30 years. And I've met just a few that even know such exists. The Lord himself said there'd be few. Many may say incorrectly that Christ is the cure. I've seen him presented that way many times. You ever heard that? Well, the gospel, it's like a medicine, and you're sick, and but you have to reach up and get the medicine and take it. Well, you can take all the medicine you want, but you're going to die because it's an incurable wound. You see, he is not. You say, how can you say that, preacher? Well, even he had to die. Read the book. Do you know why he died? He became sin. And the moment he became sin, he acquired the incurable wound. Just as you and I must. And he never cured me. He remade me in his image. That's why he said, you must be born again. You cannot, in this earthly born life, be cured of sin. You must be born again of what? Of the Spirit of God. I am crucified with Christ. Sin revived. And what happened to Paul? I died. Do you see? Sin revived and I died. I'm crucified with Christ. We've been planted together in the likeness of his death. Do you see it? Now listen. For he that is dead is free from sin. What a glorious verse. For he that is dead is freed from sin. It's terminal. You got to die. That's why they don't come. Well, I'm not going to. Well, then you're not. You have to die because we can't fix it. You'd never know that by the way they present the gospel today. My sins, which were many, are all washed away. Look at 1 John, would you? The book of 1 John. In chapter 1 and verse 7. He said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now look. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's an old hymn I found. I didn't know the hymn. I don't even know who it was by. And it was called Under the Blood. And the chorus to this hymn goes like this. It's under the blood, oh praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. Amen. You see. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians. Would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9 and verse 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I read those verses and all I can say is guilty, guilty, guilty. But thank God for verse 11. And such were some of you. Such were. He said, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Do you see it? I would the Baptists and the like would acknowledge that word were. Such were some of you. And it's the key to the incurable wound. You know what the church today, the evangelical church is all about? Well, what type of wound did you have? It is. And they'll give testimony and they want to hear all the sordid details. They want to hear all about it. Well, what kind of incurable wound did you have? You know, in truth, we ask, what happened to Grandpa? Well, he died of cancer. Well, what kind? What difference does it make? He died of cancer. Does it matter his cancer was worse than the other guy? No, doesn't matter at all, you see. Now listen to me. It also doesn't matter how he got it. It doesn't matter how he got the incurable wound. Doesn't matter what kind it is, what it was, and doesn't matter how he got it. And I've got some news for you. From the rankest whore to the good boy in church, they've all got it. Every one of them. Every one of them. All have it. Sadly, many stand today like the Pharisee. Turn to Luke 18, would you? And I've seen them. My whole walk in this religious path, 18:10-13, Luke 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I can't tell you the number of men that I know that, at least I'm grateful that I wasn't this, or I didn't do this, or what difference does it make? It's an incurable wound. He said, I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. But there's only one way to get this thing. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wouldn't have mattered if he'd been a publican, a whoremonger, drunk, adulterer. Wouldn't have mattered. It just mattered that he found out that he had the incurable sin. Turn back and go to Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 35 through verse 47. You remember this woman. One of my most favorite accounts in all of Scripture. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. See, he's always going to the religious. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. She stood at his feet behind him. Behind him, not even in front of him, weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. He did see Jesus could read his mind, could read his thoughts, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor that had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them love him most? Oh man. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. You want the gospel? You just heard it. Are you the Pharisee, the good boy? Well, I never did this. Do you know what he did? Well, at least I never did that. I've seen it. Do you know what she used to be? I don't care what she used to be. What are you now? Christ came to save sinners. He became my sin. And anybody thinks at least I'm not as bad as that has no understanding in that thing. I don't know what he is to you, but to me he's my Savior. He saved me. What did he save me from? My sins. I had an incurable wound. My life verse, 1 Timothy 1:15. Faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom not that harlot washing his feet, but whom I am chief. He didn't cure me, he killed me. Thank God. He killed me. I've taken some of it to the place. My sins, which were many, are all washed away. But the evangelicals, I'd speak of Baptists because I'm, I guess, on paper and doctrine, I'm a Baptist. You know what they're ready to do? They're picking up stones because she was caught. There was a woman caught in adultery. And they think they're better because they were never caught in adultery. You see? And they're still stoning the harlots and the divorced people and the drunkards. They're still stoning them. Because they weren't that bad, you see. Well, at least I never did this or that. Now, it's a glorious verse. I think we read it here a while back. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, the last verse. Last verse we have this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to get this. I would you'd write it down. I would you'd write the verse. Verse 17. It's not very long. And I would that all the Pharisees and the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Presbyterians and the Methodists and whoever else, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Bless God, he doesn't remember. But there's always those with the rocks that do. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Glory to God. I was thinking of the hymn when I wrote this the other morning early. I think it was 3:00 in the morning. Love lifted, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Amen. I was sinking deep in sin. You know, I've met so many that profess the Lord and they don't know anything about sinking deep in sin. You know, the truth is that if all I've got's a little cancer on my prostate, or my colon's full of it, or my lungs are filled with it, or I've got cancer from head to toe, it's terminal, it doesn't matter. It just matters that I have the cancer. And it's incurable. The incurable wound. You see. I'll never forget, I've told this story many times. I don't think I've told it in a while. And we belonged to we were attending an independent Baptist church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And at the evening service, I noticed there was a little boy, but wasn't much older than him. And he was sleeping on the front pew the whole service. And at the end of the service, they woke him up to baptize him. And that thing troubled me. And I went to meet with the pastor the next day. And I said, "Pastor, that little boy, was he saved?" He said, "Oh yeah, he got saved. We had a missionary in and he had a puppet show in Sunday school. And he got saved with that puppet show." And I said, "Preacher, does that little boy, does he understand that he was totally depraved? No better than any whore, monger, murderer, thief on the street? The incurable one?" And I'll never forget what that preacher told me. He looked me in the eye and he said, "Smokey, we're not all that bad." I'll never forget that. We're not all that bad. And that thing struck me. We are all that bad. Every one of us. And until you get that, you'll never know this. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.